Welcome to The Connection, where humans and aliens converse, and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. Almost daily, I get email about the difficulty in getting family and friends to take the pole shift message seriously. The Earth changes are there. The orbit irregularities are there, if one only looks, but people prefer not to look. The message is not welcome because it's very frightening. And in the words of the Zetas, the message is not welcome because it's just frankly scary. And in the words of the Zetas, many people are too insecure to deal with it, so they deny. There are many debunkers on the Internet who are just doing their job, employed by the government to distract anyone who might be taking the message seriously. But many are also simply insecure, frightened people. As someone commented, and I quote, "Debunkers, under the guise of presenting truth, seem to really fear Nancy. Given all the time and energy they spend on her and her ideas, be they flawed or nay, is it the message or her perceived insanity they fear? A logical person knows if a person is a crackpot and posting on the Internet, you ignore them and they go away." End of the quote. So what's behind all that frantic and angry attacks against Nancy and the Zeta Talk message? The Zetas explain. And I quote from Zeta Talk, The Insecure, written December 2004. Beyond the professional debunker, whose full or part-time job is to haunt message boards or websites in search of people discussing what the establishment wants to deny at present, there are those so in the grip of fear and insecurity that they attack the messenger for no other reason. The message is, in short, unthinkable. Life, for humans on Earth, is highly insecure in the best of times. Even with the best that modern medicine can provide, most illness is not curable and palliative measures only provided. Lightning can strike any time, any place, and neither prayers nor bribes make a difference. Meteors and fireballs from the sky are erratic, and despite man's best efforts at prediction, earthquakes strike without warning, dropping buildings and bridges. Then there are all the reassurances from employers and governments and insurers that pension funds, savings, homeownership, and assets all are solidly there and will be replaced should any event remove them. Yet employers go bankrupt, governments go bankrupt and change their rules or default on their promises, and insurance companies default. Loyalty from family and friends also cannot be relied upon solidly, as the divorce rate and domestic violence statistics show. Friends are supportive only while this friendship aligns with their life circumstances, and the friendship dropped when it becomes inconvenient. Thus, despite man's best efforts to make himself secure, he is, in essence, standing naked in the cold rain, alone. Enter Planet X in the Zeta Talk message that the world will turn upside down. Experience earthquakes that will shatter cities everywhere. Roll flood tides inland for hundreds of miles along coastlines everywhere. Explode industrial complexes into a cesspool of chemical pollution. Destroy the communication and transportation networks so that travel is on foot or impossible. Remove the convenience of electricity and clean water supply to the home and replace this with long dark nights and drinking water smelling like the neighbor's sewage. Suddenly stop the delivery of foodstuffs to the local store with no replacement, so that rats and weeds and rotting corpses become the only food available. For many, especially those in cities, or whose lifestyle by choice or necessity has made them soft and dependent, this is what the message means. Unthinkable. There are no options that come readily to mind for these individuals. If they are by nature strong and resourceful, they think about the steps to be taken in the event and plot a plan, as there is always some plan that can be formulated. They may realize that the outcome for themselves is death, and become resigned and live their last days in the most meaningful manner possible. If they are by nature weak, clingy, and demanding, another turn is taken. They watch the viability of their pension funds and savings melt away as the U.S. dollar drops and corporations go belly up. They see the weather erratic, the ferocity of storms on the rise, and watch movies like The Day After Tomorrow with fists in a ball, white knuckles. They would make shrill demands of someone, but God is not listening, and the government certainly is not listening. Now what? If a weak individual cannot succeed by demanding or clinging, there is only one option available for comfort, denial. They need not worry because it's not happening. All is normal. The weather is normal if one assumes massive climate cycles that stretch millions of years. At least this is what the TV is reporting. No one knows what causes these cycles, and any life-threatening extreme is extrapolated out thousands of years hence. So no need to worry. The government propaganda is that the economy is on the rebound, jobs being created, and a firm hand at the helm. All evidence to the contrary is simply not absorbed, and if pushed to be acknowledged, is denounced in a shrill voice and slamming doors. These individuals entertain denial in an increasingly shrill and angry manner as the threats to their secure world increase. What does one do when they are being threatened? They consider themselves under attack and respond accordingly. This proceeds along these lines, more rigid denial, more vicious attacks against the message, until the day reality breaks through and it can no longer be denied that something is amiss. At this point, the denial changes to red-faced demands for these weak individuals, hopping up and down and loudly demanding that someone reinstate their security and take care of them. If you have an individual in your neighborhood like this, move before the pole shift. They won't change. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. But most people around the world will not have been warned. Until the last weeks, they will only have their own unease at the obvious earth changes, the erratic weather, and the increasingly obvious earth wobble, and perhaps some local prophecy to guide them. There is a sequence of steps the individual goes through in arriving at their response. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Personal Decisions, written March 2002. We have predicted that mankind in the main will go into the pole shift unaware. Most of the world has no access to the media or the internet and relies on the senses of seers within their culture or their own intuition. As prophets have emerged over the years, warning of the coming earth changes, other cultures, such as Africa, have also been rich in their own folklore, though the West has been unaware of this. The Indians of South America, the tribes of Borneo, the Australian Aborigines, all have their seers and prophets of old. You are aware of the Hopi warnings, the Red Sky story, but this is just a small part of the underground lore among the American Indian. Most hearing at this time, or even in the recent past, about the coming changes are not planning any action at all. As astonishing as this may seem, this is because of a predictable set of steps the thinking process goes through. The first thought is that action should be taken. This requires health, resources, and teammates. Should the individual have this in youth, energy, the ability to travel, and others of like mind, they make plans. Should the individual not have this, in that they are in poor health, old and tired, or blocked from travel due to finances or responsibilities, they move to the next step. The next thought is what to do in the event the warnings are true. For those trapped by either inability to move or finances, the conclusion is either death or slow debility. Should the individual be strong enough to consider the warnings affecting their immediate locale and concluding that life would be horrendous afterwards, they subconsciously decide to allow death to overtake them and their loved ones. This is no different than the decision that those beset with cancer or the final stages of a debilitating disease make. They go with the flow. This does not mean inaction, as love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought, those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters. Should the individual be weak, frightened at the thought, they move to the next step. The next step is denial, and this takes many forms. Denial is usually loudly shouting down the offending message, or ignoring it. In any case, it is put aside. Once put aside, the individual moves to the next step. Distraction is the final and lingering step that those in denial take. Work, play, overeating, overexercising, or getting drunk or dopey. Taking up religions, deciding that saving the local songbirds is the most important thing that one can be involved in, whatever can consume the consciousness. End of the quote from Zeta Tone. Between the insecure, who hear the message and believe it, but find it too frightening, so deny, and the unaware, those not in a position to get the message, lie those who understand that something is coming. The level of preparation in this group is broad and dependent upon many factors. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Level of Preparation, written August 2000. As the pole shift approaches and the earth changes heralding the shift can no longer be ignored, the peoples of the world will find themselves at varying levels of preparation for the coming horror. In most cases, the populace will find themselves barely able to get past a stunned awareness that life as they have known it will not continue before the shift is upon them. Their level of preparedness will be based on where they live, their state of health, and whatever goods they can lay their hands on in the last days. Those who live in coastal cities or near volcanoes will instinctively understand that they are not safe, as warnings about tidal waves and volcanic eruptions have been regularly issued during their stay in the area. They will try to bolt to safety. Those who are ill or infirm or used to an indolent life will find they can scarcely do more than succumb to stress diseases as panic begins to overtake them. To the degree that doors are left open and goods unguarded, looting will occur, but looters are as likely to find themselves facing a panicked shopkeeper or homeowner, so looting will in and of itself be a dangerous activity during this time. Those who live in safe areas will mill about, uncertain and endlessly discussing the situation and their alternatives, with neighbors equally confused and worried. Where there has been an early warning or awareness of the coming changes, preparation may have been started, but in most cases will have been deferred until the last minute. To prepare or take the warning seriously is to give them life and credence. So ignoring the warnings and refusing to take action is a type of denial. Those who have been warned but refuse to take action will suddenly leap into a frenzy of activity, grabbing any survival gear or food stores they can lay their hands upon and attempting a mad dash to a safe place. Wild-eyed and determined, they will run over anything in their path, as though trying to escape from a burning building. This type of preparation suffers doubly in that it was inadequate due to delays and will call attention to itself due to noisy activity at the end, so is likely to be more self-defeating than successful. Where an individual has taken the warning seriously or listened to their own counsel during the months and weeks leading up to the shift, there will be a grim enactment of a plan. Those who have determined they will likely die, or who are choosing this option, will say their goodbyes, much like someone on a deathbed or a sinking ship. If those around them are refusing to acknowledge the pole shift precursors, these individuals will be treated as though insane, so may be driven to find each other for company and understanding, a type of suicide club. If an escape plan has been put into place, and well rehearsed, at least mentally, this will in all likelihood succeed. Travel is possible weeks before the shift, especially where alternative routes have been identified and researched. Travel in light, so as not to attract attention, likewise makes for fast travel, which can be disguised under many excuses. Perhaps the family is going to visit relatives, going on vacation, has experienced a death in the family and must attend a funeral, or is simply considering a job or location change and doing some checkout. We're already in attendance near a survival site, and almost staged an artificial dance will ensue. Leaving too early for a shelter, which will provide safety during earthquakes and wind and possible firestorms, would alert neighbors or undesirables, so a casual indifference is enacted. This in and of itself can be a giveaway, but in most cases, and unless the acting is so poorly done as to be a red flag, the neighbors will not notice clues that an act is in process because of their own level of panic. Stable communities in safe places, in essence a survival community in and of itself, will be guarded against a flood of desperate and poorly prepared additions to their headcount. There may be perimeter guards in place to discourage or redirect a throng of newcomers. Outside of obvious routes, as in heading for the hills or out into the countryside from a city, such throngs are unlikely to occur. Those who have not prepared ahead of time will be in a state of panic, running in all directions. So those trying to exit a city will find a press trying to move into the city in their path. And those trying to leave a coastline will find a crowd trying to reach the coast. Any change in the minds of those in the grip of panic is better than no change, so action is taken regardless of logic. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Preparation, or response to the news, is, in short, very much on an individual basis. If those made aware either prepare or deny, and those aware are either taking steps and planning well, or delaying until the last minute, there is even more variety in reactions among individuals. The spiritual orientation of individuals is often the reason for the variety of reactions. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Individual Preparations, written October 2001. On an individual basis, the subliminal mental and emotional preparations done by many who have sensed that something momentous is about to occur will move into the overt. Individuals who have been watching the news, seeing the erratic weather and the increasing inability of scientists to explain the changes and the impotence of governments to address the obvious implications for their citizens, will decide to take action. In the main, these individuals are not contactees, though many are, as they have given the call due to their concerns. The steps that an individual takes will differ, depending upon the individual's spiritual orientation. Those in the service to others have considered changes in light of family needs, such as the need for children to receive the best education, or the need for a particular family member to receive expert medical attention, or the need for employment to support the family at a comfortable level, or the need for able-bodied members of the family to be close to those needing physical assistance. Often these individuals have lined up an alternative site as a vacation home or second home, or made contacts during business trips so as to be able to move if the need arises. Those in urban areas are most likely to be struggling for alternative living, as well-publicized riots in heavily populated areas have brought home the danger when times turn ugly. Those living along coastal areas, subject to tearing tides, or on fault lines subject to increasing quakes, likewise increasingly consider their alternatives. The service to other guided individual or family will make their move not when the opportunity arises, but when the advantage to moving offset the advantage to staying. This varies and can be no more a trigger than the loss or threat of loss of a job, or the end of a school year, or the failure of a family garden. Those in the service to self are looking to either perpetuate their lifestyle and control over others, or in some cases to take full advantage of the distress that many will be under to create an essential kingdom for themselves. Those attached to a spouse or co-worker or friend who is a giving individual in the service to others will try to tighten the noose, either by increasing demands or enticements. This will be accompanied by a requirement that the person being clung to report frequently on their whereabouts or intentions, so the clinging service to self individual can ensure no escape. Those attempting to set up a kingdom for themselves attempt to parlay any semblance of leadership they may have affected in their life into group formation, becoming a leader in a survival community espousing a safe haven for all comers. Here one need look no further than the individual's past history to discern their intent. What have they done for others in the past? These would-be kings will cast their nets far and wide, seeking the gullible who can be either enslaved by the arrangements offered to them, or at the very least fleeced of all their goods and money. Those in the majority, the undecided, will take many routes depending upon their immediate vicinity and the influences in their life than upon any self-initiated urge. If living in comfortable circumstances, young and with money and opportunities for amusement, they may just remain in their setting until surprised by the week of rotation stoppage going into the shift. They will be joined by those in the service to self who were unable to make safe arrangements for themselves and will party hard into the end. If living in supported circumstances, such as government housing or government employment or institutional living, it is likely that whining demands will increase. The throng of undecideds who have migrated to supported living due to their passive personalities or lack of strong personal drive will encourage each other until any but a whine is drowned out. Those in the service to others serving in such circumstances will be exhausted and weary, and the lot will go down as time passes due to the death of these individuals, leaving the undecided to wander off looking for other caretakers. Thus, the steps toward preparation that the undecided make, in the main, are not preparation, but merely reaction. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Cover-up and preparations by government for their citizens is in the hands of man for the Zetas. Thus, when asked about the likely outcome, they have described the worst, the best, and the likely outcome. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Worst Case, written November 1999. In a worst-case prediction, there is the assumption that all care of others will cease, and all laws except the rule of the strong and ruthless will be ignored. The populace sees looting after natural disasters and assumes that such behavior would go on endlessly if a disaster were large enough, long-lasting, and global. Looting is an immediate response to an opportunity, store doors left open and the shopkeepers distracted. Where shops and homes have been left empty during the weeks preceding and following the pole shift, they will surely be looted, but grab and run is not the mode when goods are looked after and not abandoned. Bartering will become the mode, with lifestyles becoming increasingly simple and plain as goods become scarce. predictions that martial law will be imposed worldwide or in this or that country are likewise based on projecting a single response of the military to the ultimate extreme without considering the balancing forces. How will such martial law be maintained when the troops cannot be fed and the foot soldier is intensely worried about his family back at home? Military campaigns and repression are maintained only where the resources to feed and reward an army exist. When food stores and the promise of continued job security become empty, the generals and politicians wanting to rule will find themselves abandoned. And without the means to chase and punish their wayward soldiers, there will be little threat to prevent this trend. Once the rulers have been ignored without punishment or repercussions, martial law is over. Knowing these facts, most countries will not attempt martial law, and where this is imposed, such campaigns will be short-lived. End of the quote from Zeta Talk on Worst Case. And here's Zeta Talk on the Best Case, also written November 1999. Best case predictions are usually based on a wish that mankind will rise to the challenge that the coming pole shift presents, putting aside petty preoccupation. The opposite usually occurs, as during times of increasing difficulties, all but those individuals with a strong sense of service toward others look inward to their own needs when feeling anxious. Best-case predictions are also based on the assumption that the means exist to rescue mankind, that governments or wealthy benefactors are holding back and could and would do more if the circumstances were extreme. Are not starving children and the spread of disease a calamity today and just as worthy of such gestures? The much-publicized rescue operations portrayed in the media after natural disasters are conducted as a reassurance as much as a rescue, to placate the working man and to meet agreements on mutual support between countries. Would the working man pay taxes and abide by laws if his life was treated with such disdain? When matters become so grim that rescue is no longer possible, the reaction will be less public, so that the failure of governments and private philanthropy is not exposed. As with individuals, during times of increasing difficulties, governments and philanthropic organizations focus inward, concerned with their own survival. Thus, social services will be less accessible and responsive, the doors shut and the phones unanswered. And the quote from Zeta Talk on the best case scenario. And Zeta Talk on the likely reality, also written November 1999. Predictions on what will happen in human society as the cataclysms approach and become increasingly clear, even shrill in their warnings, vary from the best case to the worst, and neither are correct. Between the best and the worst case predictions lie reality, where families will increasingly be forced to rely upon themselves and the communities they live in. The responses to increased hardship and food shortages will depend upon the community, the quality of commitment to others that the community maintains. Increasing polarity toward service to other or service to self will intensify, such that some communities share and support each other more, while others close their doors to each other with brutal indifference. Governments, barely able to address the needs of their populace today, will become increasingly irrelevant. This fact will slowly dawn upon the government workers who have always assumed their jobs secure and their place in society assured. As government workers become disillusioned, the quality of their service will drop, so that support from one's government becomes increasingly unlikely. To prepare, families and individuals must look to themselves. End of the quotes from Zeta Talk. But forced to rely on themselves and their community, many will still entertain rescue expectations and fail to prepare. It's just so much easier. I forever hear from people via email regarding their rescue expectations and get blasted with their hostility when they are told the goal here on earth is for them to grow spiritually and to learn how to help their fellow man, primarily by taking action and being willing to sacrifice their own comfort. That's not what they want to hear. And I quote from Zetatov, Rescue Expectations, written February 2001. As the cataclysms draw near, those who have taken the Zetatov message about the coming pole shift seriously will make their plans. For many, when these plans fall short of their expectations for a standard of living, or comfort, or security, the gap is filled in with their rescue expectations. Perhaps they live in an urban setting where they have never had to scrape for food or bother to think about anything more than going shopping. Perhaps they have a high standard of living and they can't imagine being without what technology provides in communication and entertainment and labor-saving devices. Perhaps they are indolent and want someone else to provide the missing pieces, to provide security and comfort, and by all means a good meal at least once a day. As concerned that the Zetatov message might be true, to distress when the predictions seem to be occurring in the time frame predicted, to anxiety that their personal plans will not meet their expectations, rescue expectations, a form of denial, rise up. What are these expectations, and how likely is rescue going into or during the pole shift, or shortly after in the aftertime? The lift. Having read that those who are categorized as future residents of the earth, those firmly in the service to other, have been offered a lift during the pole shift if they desire to live through the shift, many assume this rescue has been offered and will be offered to them. And by the way, can they be dropped back onto a safe place, into a good-hearted community waiting with open arms for them? Surely they are service to other. They are always polite and never try to offend, don't rob banks or enjoy sadistic games, so surely this means they are of the service to other orientation. As we have with great detail explained, this cannot be superficially determined by the actions a human may take to avoid trouble with society or the police, or the posturing a human may assume, or any title they may place upon themselves. Simply stated, if one is looking to the lift for salvation, they are not of the service to other orientation. So don't count on this as a rescue. Government operations. In countries where social services exist, those desperate for a rescue will begin to assume that the government will act, perhaps at the last minute, but in time to rescue them. Announcements will be made to peacefully evacuate cities and coastlines. Tents will be erected, and the populace resettled after it's all over with the worst of it, the beans and rice endlessly served for supper. The military, politicians, and those holding stakes in the cities and coastlines being deserted will put selfish interests aside and become humanitarians in the end. For those clinging to this hope for rescue, we would only point out that the governments today do not act in this manner, but leave many starving children and injustices in their wake daily. Stressful times will not create heroes. It will create slamming doors. Simply stated, if any are looking to the governments to rescue them and move close to government operations in the hope this will occur, they will not only be disappointed, they will become slaves or worse at the hands of those determined to remain in control during the aftertime. Space Brothers. A theme of many discussions on the roles aliens are playing during visitations is rescue. They are benign space brothers, here to rescue mankind from destruction from atomic bombs, pollution of the environment, or whatever. Surely, in the face of something as devastating as a pole shift caused by a passing planet, steps could be taken. Divert the course of this planet. Carry mankind away in spaceships to temporary safety. For those entertaining such an appeal, we would point out that most of mankind is starving today, and disease and hardship abound. Rescue is not occurring today, for the simple reason that life on Earth is a learning experience for growing souls. And the passage of Planet X is considered a natural occurrence, not unlike hurricanes or tornadoes or disease. Simply stated, humans are to rise to the occasion to help each other during these times. Outside of the help given as a result of a truly service to other call to help another, no help will be given. In these cases, another, not the self, is assisted. Right neighbors. Since our discussions of the transformation include humans and hybrids living near each other, such that the human communities can benefit from alien high technology, those desperate for rescue assume they can move in with the right group, and shortly after the distress of the pole shift, find themselves better off than before. It is characteristic of the service to other orientation that no steps would be taken that would harm others grossly, so that seeking out the right community that would make oneself comfortable while deserting those who are currently neighbors would not be a service to other goal. Simply stated, those who are shopping around for the right community, hoping to migrate into a high-tech alien-assisted life, will in fact doom any community they attach themselves to rather than find themselves so assisted. Communities that advertise themselves as service to other are invariably not that, and would-be adoptees loudly proclaiming that they are service to other while they're trying to insert themselves into communities are likewise suspect. So what is an anxious human to do? Since the soul lives on while the human body dies, the spiritual aspects of survival and life during troubled times is more important than any physical comfort. Look to those around you for the sense of peace and acceptance they may have in place of desperation and panic. Look to those you are responsible for to see how you can make their transition to the aftertime or their next incarnation done with a sense of teamwork and caring. Look to the simple existence with a minimum of comforts during any transition, rather than demanding a high-tech existence or special attention. These attitudes and this caring orientation will assure you more than any actions you might otherwise take in arriving at a place where personal comforts and security will once again be an everyday assumption. Put aside desperation and casting about for rescue, and think of how you can help others. This is your ticket to better times. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. So what's likely to happen? I hear almost daily from folks via email frustrated that they cannot get family and friends to take the warnings seriously, that even when acknowledging the Earth's changes, noting the moon or the sun are not in the right position, or the melting glaciers and volcanic activity is outside of what global warming would bring, or the weather extremes have no end in sight, or that ancient prophecies seem to be coming true, family and friends put off serious discussion on preparations with a wave of the hand. Here's a quote from an email. I was guided to meet a friend this summer who immediately took heed to the Zeta Talk and Planet X message. This friendship was empowering to both of us, as we have together been emboldened to be more outspoken in telling others about Planet X, and many are open, it turns out. Both feel strongly in our intuition that now is the time to be outspoken and to tell as many people who will listen as possible. I sense that time is running short. We both had the same dream on the same night, a virtual reality dream. The pole shift was happening or was about to happen, with lots of flooding and people going mad in our area. There was back-to-back traffic and no one could get anywhere. The army was trying to stop people from leaving the coast. How does one address telling others about Planet X's imminent arrival? Those in the service to other are almost always sensitive to the message, even if they don't fully believe. For instance, I found that telling science-minded people about the astronomical aspects of Planet X and factual support of weather anomalies is effective, while more right-brained people respond to the intuitive aspects, prophetic dreams, and the like. I'm concerned for the men, women, and children who will be left unaware during the shift. I'm in a place of utter anger and frustration about that part of our government and media who remain mum. I'm wondering if there will be a few months precursor to the pole shift that will alert people that something is obviously going down. You mentioned that there will be a few months where it will be obvious, but now that the seasons are being simulated, I'm wondering if that will cut down to just a couple weeks. Will the physical signs become apparent so that people have some time to prepare? End of the quote from email. The Zetas have explained that simulating the seasons by tilting the globe or bobbing it up and down a bit in the ecliptic is done to reduce panic, not only in the common man, but primarily among the control freaks in the establishment. Better to have a gradual awakening to what is coming than any kind of rioting that would cause the establishment to just mow people down in the streets. Thus, there will be a gradual awakening and acknowledgement that the end times are upon us, but denial will also run strong up to and past the time of the pole shift, and there will be last-minute panic. I quote from Zeta Talk, Last-Minute Panic, written August 1995. In spite of denial and suppression of talk about the approaching cataclysms, when the Earth slows and then stops in its rotation, the truth will be known. How could it not? There will in general be two responses to those previously unaware or in denial, flight and paralysis. Paralysis needs no explanation. Sitting at home and drinking the liquor cabinet dry, baking a cake and throwing a party just to pass the hours more quickly in a diversion. In paralysis, no attempt to deal with the impending disaster is made. Of course, those who remain in denial, even when night does not become day or the day refuses to end, are in a type of paralysis. There will be those who will go to work and attempt to shop and attend social functions as though nothing were amiss. Activity and familiarity tend to comfort. Those who sense the seriousness of the situation will attempt to flee. If they've been informed but scoffed, they may know what to do and where to go and attempt to do so in great haste. Belongings and even loved ones left behind, doors left wide open, heading for the hills, for cover, to escape the city. If they have not been informed, they will attempt to flee anyway, going in all directions. Some, faced with a baking sun that will not relent, will crouch under structures that will ultimately crush them, knowing no better. Some, hearing the earth moaning beneath them, will take to the air or sea if possible, only to find themselves eventually dashed out of the skies by hurricane winds or crushed under waves hundreds of feet high. Those who have prepared and placed themselves and their loved ones in safe places will not find themselves overrun at the last minute. This is not because last-minute stragglers will not try to join them. This is because the stragglers cannot reach them. Imagine the situation. On one side of the earth, the sun is not setting. Temperatures rise. Machines break down. The telephone lines are jammed and highways blocked with disabled cars. Those on foot don't last long in the heat. Essentially, all is heat-locked. People will seek a cool spot and wait for whatever comes. On the other side of the earth, perpetual night is reigning. Here, activity is not heat-locked, but is rather sleep-locked. Businesses do not open as everyone is confused. Are the clocks broken? Telephone lines are also jammed, and lack of coordination is evident everywhere. The night shift goes home, eventually, exhausted, but the day shift never shows up. The traveler attempting to drive somewhere finds the gas stations unattended and cars out of gas blocking the roads. So those becoming aware of the situation at the last minute do not go anywhere, essentially, whether they want to or not. The exception might be the wealthy or powerful who have maintained a plane, fueled and ready, and find all these arrangements working well when the crisis arrives. Private landing strips and well-stocked country estates make a last-minute flight to safety possible. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Would this be eased if the government just came out and told the public what they know? And I quote from an email. I really wonder what this world would be like if people knew what's about to happen. To me, it would become Mad Max, total chaos, anarchy quickly being the order of the day. With or without martial law, people would generally act like cornered animals. Anything goes. Very few would prepare in an orderly manner. End of the quote from the email. What might we expect between now and then, between the time when uncertainty can be entertained, denial easily maintained, and the time when it is clear that something is happening? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Until the Last Days, written March 2006. We stated that when the pole shift hits, the majority of the world's population will not have been warned, and that even among those warned, denial will be high. We stated that among those hearing the warning and taking it seriously, the reaction may be to party to the end rather than take steps for safety or prepare for a life after the shift. Given that the cover-up may crack, and certainly will crack when the presence of Planet X coming toward the Earth from the direction of the Sun is evident to all, how will this play out? This is unlikely to ever reach the point of certainty until the last weeks, when the Earth rolls its north pole away into 3 days of darkness for the northern hemisphere. Planet X and its moon swirls, an immense dust cloud, will become increasingly obvious in the sky, but the establishment plans to claim this as an early solar maximum, plasma balls from the sun and the like. Thus the populace will be encouraged to discount these signs. Nevertheless, even with the cover-up firmly in place, there will be increasing talk of the many signs that the end times are upon mankind. Even in those countries isolated from mainstream media, the local version of the end times prophecy will be much discussed. Once certainty has been reached, panic or stunned denial or a final move to safety will certainly occur. But what of the months leading up to this point? Those of good heart, sensing change and taking the Earth's changes seriously, and able to face the threat without retreating into denial, will make plans and act upon them as they are able. For most, due to their circumstances, this will result in a plan to dash to safety at the last minute. This is because most of humanity lives hand to mouth, living day to day, so that a move to a safer location is physically and financially impossible. Even those who could afford such a move may find themselves in a bind with other family members or feeling a sense of responsibility to remain where they are, so their plan, likewise, is to react at the last minute. Whether moving to a safe location with a survival mindset early or at the last minute, these individuals will be found at their jobs up until the last days, regardless of how strong the signs become. The signs will strengthen their resolve, but not cause them to bolt or panic. Those given to selfish reactions, sensing the change and taking the Earth's changes seriously, have been plotting how to take advantage of the circumstances. They've been hoarding, buying land in safe locations where they can act as kings or lords over those whom they anticipate will straggle in, desperate, in the last week. Prices will be sky high for any goods they have to offer, and enslavement the agreement for a meal and a bed. If working for the government, they are planning work camps and confiscation. As the signs increase and shortages develop, these individuals begin to savage each other, fearing takeover, so that by the time the last weeks arrive, their noisy warfare has revealed their intent. If not able to compete in this manner, selfish individuals will either try to attach themselves like lampreys to the good-hearted or simply plan to party hard until the end, living for the moment. In either case, they will be predictably in place, scheming or partying until the last days. Those in hard denial will get more hardened, attacking the messengers, refusing to contemplate the news, getting more red-faced and angry as the facts press in. This group will likewise be in place, going through their daily routine, unlikely to change, even when the last weeks show the pole shift to be inevitable. Even when the sun refuses to rise past mid-morning, they will go through their routines as the routine comforts. Given that the majority of mankind will be in this category, government operations will in the main continue apace, up to and including the hour of the shift. Those of good heart who have prepared will leave in the last weeks to take their loved ones to safety. Those self-serving will likewise devote themselves to their scheme or good times. So the ranks will be diminished, but government offices will still be trying to function, staffed by those in denial or those with a mission to either help or take advantage of others. Government services will, thus, likely be available until the last weeks, deteriorating rapidly into the shift. Opportunistic looting will of course occur as it does today. Looting occurs after fire or quakes or when rioting overwhelms the police system. Camps to take in refugees from quake-ravaged cities or drought or flood-ravaged regions will be on the increase, with food shortages affecting these camps and riots breaking out. These will be handled in the same manner as today, with riot suppression and allowing those outside the camps to simply die of hunger and exposure. This goes on today in Afghanistan, in the Sudan, in Korea, and among the homeless in American cities. The wealthy will increase their defenses, hiring patrols and building fences. Cities will become more dangerous, those with criminal tendencies seizing opportunities. Reaction to any gangs that form, intent on preying on others, will include not only the police and military assigned to keep order, but militias determined to defend their communities. This will occur in any case after the shift, so as a prelude to life after the shift. When the last weeks arrive and the monster is writhing in the skies, and the north pole of Earth tips away into 3 days of darkness, the Earth changes will increase dramatically. Renting quakes, collapsing cities, monstrous tidal waves, and disruption of services, power, gas, water, and phone. Bridges will be down, roadways torn, the atmosphere so volatile that planes cannot be safely lofted. The drama then switches to the local arena, which, depending upon the polarization that occurred, may be good-hearted or self-serving or full of panic-stricken people who neither planned nor plotted ahead of time. Those in hard denial will continue to plod through their life as though nothing were happening, walking like automatrons amid the din and the melee. Insanity will take a sharp uptick, with many losing touch with reality, sitting in stunned silence or preaching their version of reality. The last weeks will in essence be an exacerbation of the behavior each has assumed months before. Those preparing taking their final steps. Those taking advantage, seeking to reap riches and control from others. Those uncertain before, in panic. And those in hard denial, shrill and insulated. End of the quote from Zeta Talk.
Hello, I'm Roger, President of Troubled Times Incorporated. We're a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping mankind survive during troubled times when self-sufficiency may be the only answer. Our organization offers a twin set CD of survival information at cost to the public. The CDs are in hypertext and PDF format, two popular browser formats, and contain all the information collected by the massive Troubled Times website. The CDs allow you to browse this information offline at your leisure. The cost of the twinned pair is $4.10, and this includes postage. You can also get the survival booklet, a hip-sized booklet of the gist of the Troubled Times advice, for just $5, including postage. We offer a popular combo package for $7.50 that includes both the CDs and the booklet, with the lower postage expense reflected in that price. Send for your copies today to start making practical plans for your and your family's survival. Just click on the $4.10 CD link at www.zetatalk.com and your copy will be on its way.
That concludes our broadcast. Thank you for being with us. Remember to carry love in your heart. It's the commodity of the future. As the Zetas say, love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought, those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters.